Hey, hey, hey. My people. It's great to see you all. You know my brother and I, CEO and COO.
COO.
Jerry, Carl, Carolina. So, I just wanted to get the gang together early in my tenure to say, yo.
P to the OD. Cast on the daily about succession. One episode per day, see. P to the OD. Cast on the daily about succession. Podcasting like a pro, make some noise. Succession is almost over, but we're just getting started talking about every single Succession episode here on Post Show Recaps on the Daily Succession Podcast. Here on Post Show Recaps, we are watching and discussing every single episode of Succession. On the road to the final season premiere, March 26th, we are going episode by episode and day by day. You can get commercial-free versions of this podcast when you sign up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level. That's patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level for ad-free versions of the Succession podcast. Hello, everybody. I am Josh Wigler, and today, joining me to discuss Succession Season 1, Episode 3, Lifeboats, are the two people who are going to bail me out of $3 billion in debt, Grace and Jess. Thank you so much, by the way, for that.
Jess, let's do a bit where we are silent on the phone and see who answers. A good podcast bit.
I'm too busy putting on my socks.
Yeah. A lot of people who were listening to our episode 2 recap, Jess, responded in the comments by saying we don't respond well to foul language, to which I had to say, I'm sorry, we didn't name episode 2. We didn't come up with that name.
Not our fault.
We didn't write it.
Yeah. We're just talking about it.
We're talking about episode 3 today, though, as we continue here on the Daily Succession podcast. We are 3 episodes deep at this point. And boy, the Roys, Grace, they're in deep as well, it turns out.
Nah, Kendall's steering the ship. He's got those lifeboats that are heading right towards the iceberg. Don't worry.
No, I said lifeboats, not icebergs.
He's like, that's what we're pushing. That's what we're pushing.
We're pushing Carolina. Lifeboats.
Push harder, Carolina.
Push harder. The tale of 1,000 lifeboats here on episode 3 of Succession. You know, it's funny that it took this long for like the big business show, Jess, to finally have a big business episode. But here we are. We get to see everybody at work.
Yeah, we get a lot of the
wish we didn't see everybody at work.
I don't need
people
to see
I would have
what
loved
Roman
to have
does.
Seen at work.
Yeah, don't need to see what Roman does on a daily basis at work, as none of it is actual work. Yeah, it was interesting to see kind of everyone, especially I like that we get to see the start to finish of Kendall's day. Basically, like he wakes up at like 4:45 in the morning. He does some like, I don't even karate type of maybe martial
art. Yeah, there's
art
some sort of martial art wake up routine. The closed captioning on HBO Max describes it amazingly as exhaling in rhythm with punches. Hell of a way to wake up.
Yeah. So he's like the first one into the office. And I really enjoyed the fact that like this is his start. He like calls Rava. He's trying to get pumped up. Do I go Hulk or Bruce Banner? You know, which one? And she's just like, which one is the big green one? Do that one.
Mm-hmm. I feel so bad for Rava here.
Well, of course, she's trying to take care of his kids. And he is trying to ask her business questions.
Being such an nincompoop. And she's like, I don't know. I just got to get the kids ready for school, I think.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Ask
you
your
just
guys.
Be the Incredible Hulk, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
What ask are we, Roman. Yeah.
What are we here as far as our Succession preseason? Is this the Hulk approach or the Bruce Banner approach? Is this just smash or is this like an intelligently designed endeavor? I think the jury's still out, but
I'd
we're
love
having
to
fun.
Say it's the latter, but I think it's smash way through episodes of Succession.
Well, we're loving it. We're
incredibly smashing
through Succession on an incredible level for sure. Well, how about this? Let's smash through a quick plot recap of episode 3. It's lifeboats. We're a few days out from episode 2 when we begin, and newly installed acting CEO Kendall Roy is trying to stop the bleeding at Waystar Royco. The company's stock is plummeting, and if it falls below $130 per share, Waystar will need to pay up on Logan's $3 billion loan with money they don't really have. Kendall's negotiations as the Hulk with the bank are disastrous. They are not incredible.
The media narrative spins out of his control and all seems lost. But as the proverbial iceberg looms, a lifeboat shows up in the form of Stewie, Ken's old college friend, a private equity investor who agrees to put $4 billion into Waystar in exchange for a board seat. It's good news, right? Except maybe it's not, because for one thing, Stewie seems to have a relationship with Sandy Furness, who is one of Logan's bitterest business rivals. For another, Logan calls Kendall an effing idiot for making this deal, so clearly he's not thrilled about it. Between rejections from his father and rejections from his soon-to-be ex-wife Rava, despite a very good night out on the town and in the town? I don't know. Kendall's self-worth, it's plummeting. It's plummeting as swiftly as Waystar's stocks. As for the other Roys, Shiv hires an old boyfriend to investigate Marcia, whose past is unsettlingly unknown. Marcia stonewalls Shiv and everybody else from seeing the recovering Logan, and she even seems to be getting wise to Shiv's investigation. Tom gets a big promotion, that's really good news, and also, hey look, Shiv is acknowledging their engagement, so that's even better news. Then there's cousin Greg, who is a Roy in all but name, who is settling into his new job at Waystar by hoarding baked goods in non-pre-pooped doggy bags. And Roman does a thing. And I don't want to talk about it, but I think we're probably going to talk about it. Anyway, that's the episode of Succession this time.
That was so fun.
It's a mess. There's a lot.
I mean, there's a lot of mess to clean up.
Office, it is definitely a mess.
I mean, we've all been there when you come back from vacation and there's countless emails. I don't know that we've all taken the approach to resolve that situation and lighten our load, as it
so to speak. So to speak.
I mean, I the thing that caught me the most is that he does turn down his blinds. They're not completely, you know, opaque. This is bad news for
Who's got a view into that window though? You know, they're at the tippy top of the skyscraper. So I don't know. I'm not trying to justify anything. Good lord.
That certainly sounds like you are.
A rough deal if a window washer just happens to be coming by, for sure. very, very difficult times here. But gosh, Jess, Roman Roy, what a metaphor for this episode of Succession. The Roys have made a big mess and they need to figure out how to clean it up.
And the answer is not tissues that are really cheap that you just it's not. Yeah, it's this whole episode is a mess. We start off with like Kendall kind of being ready for like to take things on, ready to take things on throughout the day. And it's up and down and all around with like the stock plummeting, him having these such awkward conversations on the phone with the company that has loaned them the money. It is not going well. And he thinks he's found a solution with his pal Stewie, but as we see Greg noticing, he's involved with Sandy, and I love the show. Grace, one of my favorite things about the show is that there are a lot of businessy things happening, but I love the very clear and easy terms that they put it in. This would be like if Pepsi started visiting Coke, and I was like, I got it. I'm in. Mm-hmm. I know what they mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the power play move by Sandy Furness to show up at the office. Jerry politely points out, Logan would shoot him on sight.
Shoot him on sight. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sometimes it is worth wondering, like, Jerry, is that a metaphor or are we talking about like literal assassination?
I think literal, probably. Yeah. For Logan Roy. Yeah, this is a very Kendall focused episode, I would say. Looking back, I did not really remember there being this like Marcia Siobhan storyline here that it's compelling, I think, in terms of like Marcia being like stone cold and be like, if you want to just know about me, just ask. I was like, oh my god, that's chilling. AMA. That's chilling. We're introduced
DMs
to,
are open, Siobhan.
Yeah, get introduced to Nate here. Who's gonna hire somebody to do that? So that's all interesting. And yeah, it's a very compelling episode. I don't think it's quite as like firecrackery as the last one. I don't feel like there's as much like tension, even though there is like the moment like when is the stock actually going to drop, is sort of the point of the episode, and it is, there is like this nice moment where like Kendall does seemingly make a pretty, you know, shrewd business move, and this moment where he gets to like tell the banker to F off essentially, only for, you know, this to all be like, actually that was probably bad because you didn't get your father's love, and it seems like this might have been an actual bad business move due to Stewie and Sandy circling. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. The sharks are out. Kendall, it's really like sort of a week in the life of Kendall Roy this time around, where he's trying to right the ship without anybody backing him up. And I feel like there's a few things in terms of like, how's he doing? You know, it's like objectively from our point of view, does it seem like he has his shit together versus in the boardroom? I feel like even when he and Roman get to walk in and they're kind of like talking everybody through the state of the land, like nothing useful is translated. I don't know if any of you have ever been in like that kind of a meeting with leadership, like the rock star boss coming in and trying to like pump up the room. I'm not feeling the energy that you're putting into this thing. Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot of that. So in many ways, I feel like this episode of Succession, they're all triggering in some ways. This one felt kind of particularly triggering to me from that standpoint.
I wish actually I don't love Roman. Roman is clearly supposed to be sort of the comedic relief in that scene, but I feel like the comedic relief is the like awkward anxiety of when you say rockstar boss, I've had the CEO who's like this, who's like trying so hard to be cool, and then like everything's fine. It literally Leslie Nielsen being like, nothing to see here. And there being like a burning building exploding behind him. I've definitely had that. I feel like Roman, I don't think the humor works here when he's like, you know, or porn could, you know, save us. So like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know? It feels like it's too much of Kendall's already in this like awkward situation. Then I don't really know what they're trying to do other than maybe it just be sort of funny. He does get everybody to laugh when he sort of like pokes at Roman a little bit when he makes, he's like, okay, maybe there is a bad idea.
I think everybody sort of chuckles. That for me feels like it, right? Like, because we've just exposed like a tiny bit of a hole in Roman's armor here, where Roman like is not like making a joke. He's like making, you know, he's got
this
an idea.
Serious. Yep.
This
porn,
is an idea.
Yeah, can make money.
And Kendall, who is afraid of becoming sort of this big public laughing stock as the CEO, as the stocks are plummeting, I think is, you know, taking a, we're seeing this through Succession through three episodes, certainly with like Tom and Greg, and Tom taking every opportunity to take a shot at Greg. Kendall's maybe doing that a little less and certainly like more subtly than that. But this is a moment that kind of has shades of that Tom and Greg relationship. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the way that Kendall's treating people in this episode, I think is really notable. He's really dismissive of Tom at one point, which I thought was very notable when Tom comes to Kendall and says, all right, Lord Vader, anything you need, let me know. And Kendall just kind of is like, yeah, just go to work, please. Like, I don't have time for you.
He's also super dismissive of Jerry, who when they're trying to ruminate on ideas before the whole lifeboat meeting about like things they could do, you know, Kendall wants to make a big swing, make big moves, make a big splash as his introduction as CEO. And Jerry has some thought through suggestions. Immediately he rejects them. He's, we don't want old, we want new, we want exciting. And I thought that was very interesting and notable because Jerry really is like this like stabilizing force. She has been through all the garbage. She knows where the bodies are buried. But she's very low key so far through three episodes.
She was so low key she skipped one entirely.
Exactly. Yeah. So low key that no one remembered when her husband died. So I thought that was really notable as well, that Kendall is very much like, once he gets the power in his hands, he feels like he knows best. But I do think we see the kind of anxiety and fear when he calls Rava in the very beginning, like needing advice.
Yeah, I want to say, actually, I don't think he does know what he's supposed to do. But when you're at the top of the thing, you're supposed to know what to do.
Fake it till you make it type of thing. Yeah,
totally fake it till you make it. And I actually think like it's very interesting in the sense when he talks about like, you know, when he gives the reason why he's going to be like hardline on the phone. I'm like, there's a world where that makes total sense, that he's trying to be like, you know, my dad was an a-hole, so I'm going to be an a-hole. You know, I'm like, you know, there's something to that. And you know, but you immediately need to, as Jerry's like, I don't know if that's a good idea. Like, we need to realize it's not a good idea.
Yeah. I think Kendall in this episode, you get a lot of that energy of like, what will this look like if he has total control? And he has, you know, he really expresses it pretty neatly at the start of the board meeting. I feel like Jess was like, well, I just want to call this, you know, this meeting together to basically say, yo, What's up? Yeah. You know, and so like, yes. I feel like this is the dichotomy. This is the type of stuff that a dinosaur, a Tyrannosaurus Rex like Logan Roy is really a hard pass on. And so how this is landing with some of Kendall's contemporaries, it's different, right? Because we do get to meet Stewie in this episode, who's an important character. He's Kendall's, you know, close friend. They know each other really well. Clearly, they've been through a lot. They have partied hard together. Mm-hmm. We are once again sort of playing the storyline of Kendall's substance abuse history and maybe Stewie not being totally sensitive to that at all. And I think that the way in which Kendall sees the future and some of the other people see the future, it's very different. It's very different across the board.
Yeah. It's interesting. Stewie and Sandy both are introduced here, and they're really important. And I think the show immediately lets us know who Stewie is. Like, he is so disgusting. He gets on a counter and reaches his hand back to grab a donut without even paying for it. Right. He just feels entitled to the donut. And he, like, I can't even get into the fact that he, like, licked it before he bit into it for, like, a very long time, which was really strange.
I did not observe this behavior. Yeah. Stewie's just licking the donut.
I've seen this episode too many times.
Wait, what's the Ariana Grande?
Yeah, so can you just dial it back and tell us what Stewie's doing to the donut, please?
So when we start the conversation with him and Kendall, he just has a small bite and he's like, oh, it's basically like free carbs. Like, oh, these free samples, they're so great. And so then he reaches back, pulls out, it kind of looks similar to like an apple cider donut or like a cruller. And he literally is just licking it without biting into it for a while. Mm. And I don't know if he's trying to just get the taste without the actual, like,
yeah, maybe like trying to savor the flavor as long as he can.
Yeah. But I like that we're introduced to him here and we are showed like he's gross. He's not a good person. And he's obviously from Kendall's bad boy past, if you want to put it that way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I think it's interesting that because Kendall makes this move very quickly and without a ton of guidance from anyone else. I think does he discuss this with Jerry and Roman when they're
doesn't seem like it.
No, it's they throw out
during
ideas
their
of how to get rid
off,
of the debt.
Brainstorm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Let's fire people. That's a shirts off idea.
Yeah. So there's no real discussion of it. And he should have. That's the thing. That's why you have people at the top to discuss these things with, because no one has vetted this move.
No, unilateral decision making is the way to go, I think.
Excuse me, Greg? Are you kidding?
Hey, Tom.
Forgive me, but are we talking to each other on the poop deck of a majestic schooner? Is the salty brine stinging my weather-beaten face? No? Why the fuck are you wearing a pair of deck shoes, man?
Let's take this character by character. We do have a conscious Logan Roy in this one, Grace. We, of course, are rating all of these characters over at PosterRecaps.com/rateroys on the scale of 0 to 4. And just by virtue of being conscious, Logan finally scored some points from us last time around.
Not me.
Some points, I said. Is Logan scoring any points this week? He is more conscious in episode 3 than he is in episode 2, but maybe barely.
No, and this is the thing, is like when he's around, he's just awful. He's so mean to his kids. He's like, yeah, he might feel like Kendall made the wrong decision, but like it's also like partially your fault that you put that Kendall's like in this position, you know? So yeah, totally bad. I give no points to Logan once again.
No points for Logan Roy. Jess, how did you feel about Logan here in episode 3?
Logan is terrible. Logan, he can barely speak. He is recovering from a significant medical event, and he struggles to say anything. And the words he is going to say, the first words that we're going to hear him say in a few episodes, is "You are an effing idiot." Mm-hmm. Like, that just shows what kind of guy he is. It's really, really terrible. Kendall's in so like such high spirits when he goes to see his dad, like he feels like he has succeeded at something. And of course, Logan has no appreciation for any of this. Yeah, Logan sucks. Logan gets a 0 from me. He does nothing good.
A flat Connor, a full on Connor here.
You're not going to give him a point though for maybe putting on a sock.
He did. He might have put on a sock. He might have put on a sock.
He might have put on a sock.
I feel like that's getting reported in the AP, right, Grace?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, the whole board meeting got reported, the icebergs of it all. You got to imagine. And it's possible that Waystar's very own Logan Roy may have put on a sock.
Is it Shiv who's like, we don't even know. Nobody's in the room. We don't know if he put on a sock. I love that's like a fake story that Marcia has planted. It's like he's put on a sock.
If a Roy puts on a sock, but no one is around to see it, I think is a valid question.
Put on a sock, so I don't know.
I do think that Logan's treatment of Kendall at the end of the episode is so emblematic of what this show is all about. All of these people who have these deeply human moments, these opportunities to stop being so monstrous and actually focus on what matters. And even on the other side of this near-death experience from Logan Roy, all he can do is disparage his son. Like, he can't even do, well, no, this is bad, but you tried your best and let's go and clean the thing up together. Or like, thank you, it's good to see you too, son. It's straight to, you're an effing idiot. So while I give Logan 0 points as well on this one, I do think that his role in the episode this time around, I think just such a great artful job of summarizing Succession. Just this idea of, you had a chance to not be so terrible. Like, this one time, you didn't have to be so cruel to your children. And here he is being absolutely, absolutely awful. Kendall this week, Kendall goes to work. He goes to work at 4:45. I guess he wakes up at 4:45. We don't know what time he goes to work. But Kendall is going to work. He has his week as the acting CEO in this episode. We've already talked a bit about how we thought that he did in that regard. But how about some of the other areas of his life? We get to see a little bit of his social life. We get to see him with a friend. We get to see him on a date. Grace, they eat all of the rabbit, so to speak.
Yeah, all the rabbit. Jess, you talked about how in episode one you couldn't rate him high because like cocky Kendall is the worst. I think that like, I know I'm joking, but I'm actually telling you the truth. Kendall is maybe my least favorite Kendall. When he's saying to Rob, he's like, listen, like one of us is going to be unhappy. I don't see why it should be me. God, it's so bad. It's so bad. I don't like it. And like, you know, I give Bravo probably is the best side character of the episode for me. It's not a ton to choose from. And I'm like, you know, just get, fine, whatever, get it. But then also like, yeah, leave in the morning. Like, you know, do what you need to do, Bravo. But I was just like, this is so gross, Kendall, just being like, you know, one of us is going to be unhappy. I don't see why it should be me. I hate it.
I did laugh really hard at the Kendall and Rava sex scene just because of like sort of the sight gag of the pants around his ankles.
When he's shuffling?
Sort of, yeah, he's like doing like the shuffling. Yeah. Like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Dance, you know?
Yeah.
Like, do you have to go to the bathroom? I know.
It's just, yeah. Watching Kendall sometimes is so awkward because he's so eager to please, but also a total a-hole. So it's just like such a weird mix. And yeah, the scenes with Rava and also the scene where he's like, he's so stubborn and he will not speak first on the phone when he tells them to F off. It's so terrible. It's really hard to watch. I want to rate, that's the weird thing. I think it's Jeremy Strong's performance. I want to rate Kendall higher. Like I want him to have a very first, like a successful first day of work. But I don't want it to be too good because like cocky is annoying. Yeah.
If we were rating everybody on their performances of the show, it'd be like fours across the board. You know, it's like a tremendously well acted show. Yeah. So
I ended up with a 2 for Kendall because I don't know. I feel very middle of the road on him this week, I guess. Or this episode, today.
I also have a 2 for Ken. Yeah.
Yeah. I went with a 3 for Kendall. I don't know. I felt
did you really
like
his martial arts in the morning?
I really felt inspired by it. I really did. I also felt, as we're moving from Kendall to Roman, I felt very seen by the first aspects of Roman's storyline. Just because I'm currently going through physical therapy, and so like seeing him get stretched out, I was like, oh, that happens to me once a week right now.
I forgot the one thing I wanted to mention. If there's a moment to feel both empathetic and like embarrassed for somebody, it's the moment where Kendall doesn't know how to kiss his father on the head.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh my God, I feel so bad for you, but just friggin' kiss him. What are you doing? Just kiss him on the head. What are you doing?
It was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think how to approach a man like Logan Roy with anything resembling love instead of like fealty. I feel like I get it. I do get it.
Tough.
Heavy lies the crown and
all. Josh, counterpoint. I mean, you know, I just got to sit Roman and masturbates in his office. So I think I got to give him a zero. I just got to say.
He, you know, he not only does that, but he does it sort of like ceremonially, like jacking it to the world, right? You know, this is like, you know, when they say balls out, I don't know if he meant like this.
And then he's ready for work. He's like, all right, I'm open for business. Anybody?
Yeah, let's go.
Meeting's open. Let's go.
I also hate all of the times he meets with his trainer where he's like, you know how important I am? I'm COO. That means anything that operates, I'm in charge of. And when he threatens to like,
anything
you messed
operates.
Up my,
yeah.
you messed my backup. Do you know how much it's, if I'm out of work for 15 minutes, that's like $1 million. He sucks.
I was so stressed watching. There's that scene where he masturbates in his office, and the thing that precedes it is he's getting 100 messages a second. It is so alarming to see all of those various pop-ups before the major pop-up that happens with Roman. Roman's behavior, he's not somebody who should be in this environment. I don't know what environment he's supposed to be in, but it's not this one. Let's brainstorm, shirts off, let's disrupt. It's like,
you don't think he's good at being the chief of all the things that are operating?
I don't know. I don't know if I want him in charge of my operations. I don't think so. But I do think it is worth stressing, especially for people who are on this journey for the first time. And I think for people who are rewatching the show, this is actually an important moment to observe.
It is.
Roman's behavior in this episode, I do think it's like it's kind of the start of something that we will be following. I don't know that it will ever be like quite like that. I don't know if it'll ever be quite like this. Let's talk about Shiv. Shiv spends a lot of the episode trying to kind of go up against Marsha. She is. I don't know if we want like a Shiv versus Marsha category. I don't think is necessary.
I don't think
but
so in the long
definitely
term.
Definitely not necessary.
Though.
But it is Shiv versus Marsha in a very real way this week, where Marsha is the stone wall that everybody has to get past in order to get to Logan, and Shiv does not feel like she should need to get past anybody in order to see her father. So she enlists the help of an old boyfriend in the form of Nate. And is trying to get him to hire somebody to investigate Marsha. And what we learn is troubling. Like, she has an ex-husband who is in all sorts of shady business. But before that, before like anything, I think, Grace, before Marsha was 31 years old, comes up empty. I think she just like appears as a 31 year old.
I think she was born 31.
It's possible.
I'm 31 now.
How old was Benjamin Button when Benjamin Button was born?
80, 90, I think.
That would suck to be born 31. It's like, oh man, I lost a lot of time if you're Benjamin Buttoning towards zero, right? If you're Benjamin Buttoning towards Connor, I think is particularly challenging. But Shiv gets to work and she investigates. She brings Connor and Tom with her, all 12 feet of them.
Yeah.
When she goes to finally push past Marsha's barrier. I think it's a pretty strong outing for Shiv. And then, of course, when she does go and see Logan, that is a traumatizing incident as Logan mistakes Shiv for his wife, it seems like, or
just anybody, know? Really, somebody else.
Yeah. And like no empathy for Logan as far as like, okay, well, you were not in your right head. Like, what you're doing is bad, man. Like, that's not okay.
That's real bad.
No, and this is Marsha has been trying to prevent this. In the beginning of the episode, we see one of like his health aide nurses is like crying and being escorted out. So Marsha is very obviously trying to prevent any of this from happening again, which is why she doesn't want anybody. Or it could be Logan, but it seems more like Marsha is saying, like, I don't want anybody to see him in the state that he is in. Shiv, relentless, believes that Marsha is up to no good. On top of that, Shiv being the only one to not sign the trustee paperwork or be the most against signing the trustee paperwork, she thinks this is a slight against her personally because of Marsha. So She, but it's interesting, even though she does succeed at getting past Marsha and seeing her father to disastrous results, it does feel like Marsha wins the war because she knows that Shiv did some snooping. She knows Shiv hired someone to look into the past.
How did she find out?
Well, we see the camera pan onto one of the bodyguards. Which I think is an indication that he somehow found out through some kind of channels. We don't know the specifics, but based on that camera move, that's the assumption. But yeah, I give Shiv a 2 because I don't think she was super successful this episode. I feel like Marsha has her number now. And given that Logan is pushing for Marsha to have more, more shares in the company, it's not good for Shiv, this episode. So
what did you think, Grace, for Shiv?
I mean, the thing I don't love about this episode is that, I mean, if you were playing on the idea that like business is a boys club, which Succession will do, I don't love the like the daughter and the stepmom thing. Like, I know that like it is important. And like, obviously in episode one, there is this thing about Logan trying to get Marsha on. I think that was compelling in terms of, you know, when I thought about Marsha in episode one, like she comes off very sweet. And then I think you're wondering the whole time, like, okay, when will the shoe drop? She's not like super young in the way that she's like a 20-year-old married to this old man. Like there's not that, but she is like younger than Logan. So I think like they're playing into that a little bit, but this I feel like is sort of the least effective the show will be in terms of some of this stuff, I think. And the scene with Shiv. So I want to bump Shiv up because I feel like that's such an awful situation for her to have.
I think
been
that
put
that
in.
Informed my score. I ended up giving her a 3. I think that was a big piece of it. Yeah.
Because like ultimately, like she's like, she's like paying for someone to investigate from love, but also like you can see the world. And again, like I think the show is playing into some of the stuff of like, what is Marsha hiding? Right. Like, what is she like? Is she trying to get the money and control? And so the fact that it's like, we can't even see him. And then when you see him, you're like, that actually tracks that like nobody should see Logan, I think is like fairly effective. But the fact that like Shiv, I feel like, I wish Marsha was maybe a little bit more upfront with Shiv about like how bad his situation is, and maybe she is. I don't know. So I just feel bad for Shiv, I guess, and so I want to like rate her a little higher. I also agree.
Well, if we're talking about Shiv sort of in conversation with Marsha, I think we can break from form and just rate Marsha here. Marsha has been getting high marks from us here across the board through the first two episodes of Succession. For me, she took a little bit of a hit here, not a huge one. I think I gave her a 3 is ultimately where I landed with Marsha on the scale of 0 to 4 Roy children. I went with a 3 for Marsha. Mostly because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like she is like, she's been so strong and she's been, you know, sort of almost like bulletproof in a lot of ways. And now the way that she has been exposed to Shiv as somebody to be really concerned about feels like the closest that Marsha has been to vulnerable at this point. I don't love her, you know, getting in the way of Logan's children getting to see their dad. But at the same time, that's a hard position for her to be in as well. But I think like the fact that she has made enough of an enemy of Shiv to get her in this place, it's precarious enough that I wonder, like, slightly unforced error, perhaps.
I ended up giving her a 4. I do hear what you're saying in terms of Shiv maybe finding out some sensitive information about her. And also obviously by proxy, Connor and Tom now also know of this as well. However, I think the fact that she found out that Shiv knows still gives her a bit of the upper hand in knowing that that information has leaked. And let's be honest, married to the most powerful of the Roys. And so I still gave her a 4. I think that, again, a really strong showing from Marsha in terms of, I have the power. I dictate what happens in this household. I don't care if you are related by blood. I am his proxy and I speak for him. Yeah. And so I still end up giving Marsha a 4. Honestly, surprisingly strong Marsha in these.
Marsha's having
a
very good first few episodes. Grace, are you where are you landing with Marsha?
I give her a 3 only because there is that scene where the nurse comes down crying. And so clearly this is the thing that's like happening, and Marsha, to an extent, I feel like, I guess we don't know this for sure. Yeah, is like enabling it and not maybe doing more to prevent it. So I think I give Marsha, I dock her down 1 point for that, which feels not right, but I guess I don't feel like I have enough information to knock her down more points. Yeah. And again, I do think she has a pretty strong episode.
Speaking of docking points, it makes me feel like we should actually be talking about Cousin Greg now and his dock shoes, his boat shoes. Sweet Cousin Greg, who finally makes his way into Waystar Royco. He's got a job doing, I don't know. He's like watching training videos. This might be the first time I'm realizing that the company slogan, the slogan Roy for Waystar is feel it.
Mm-hmm. Feel it.
Feel it.
The whole scene where Greg has a job and goes to work, but no, he's not on record as having a job is so funny. And he's like, I didn't get a last name.
I didn't get Tom's last name.
I don't think I got it.
Hey, Tom. Hey.
Boss
hey.
Tom. Boss Tom. Tom.
He sees Tom. Tom basically ignores him. It's so funny. It's so funny.
I absolutely love the moment where Tom comes in and Greg is shoveling cookies into a dog poop bag. And are we talking to each other on the deck of a majestic schooner? Mm-hmm. Salty brine stinging my weather-beaten face? No? Then why the F are you wearing a pair of deck shoes, man?
Yeah.
Nick does credit card.
Yeah. So he, you know what? Tom says to his assistant, let's find the talented Gregory a place
the talented
here.
Mr. Gregory.
And Mr. Gregory ends up at a cubicle watching some HR videos. And you know what? He can afford fancy shoes by the end of the episode. So Greg is having, it starts off a little rocky. And the other thing is, knowledge is power, my friends. And Greg now has the knowledge that this guy, Stewie, is talking to both Roman and Sandy. And who knows what's going to happen with that. So I gave Greg a 3 because he
almost
does...
blows it though by like waving to Stewie.
Mm-hmm. Hey, he does. I know you. Yeah. No harm, no foul. You know,
yeah, luckily Stewie has no idea who this guy is. So that would not have really tracked at any level. I want to give Greg a 4 for this episode because he does have a job now. This is good. He's got the shoes. I don't know that I can abide him putting the baked goods in the poop bag. I know
it's a mental barrier, Josh.
I know it's not pre-pooped. I cannot get past the mental barrier.
Can I tell you where my mental barrier is though on these is because I buy the lavender scented ones.
Oh
and then
no!
Your hands sometimes do smell like lavender, so these cookies would have a lavender scent.
No, you
if
can't.
I have these exact poop bags.
Bags. No. I do.
Yeah.
I have these exact.
Yeah, I have the exact same ones, but mine are
lavender.
You know
lavender. What, isn't Greg? They are biodegradable. We stand a king who cares about the earth.
I give Greg a 3. The first day of work does
Jess
really
Jess
stuck.
Is putting food in poop bags. It's just what I
definitely
heard.
Doing.
Yeah,
yeah definitely
this
doing
is hard
that.
For me. I
if I
tell
had
you.
To, I would. If it was the only Ziploc around, it's a plastic bag.
Oh my gosh. The mental barrier is really hard.
The
right
weirdest
now.
Part about the way Greg put the cookies in the bag is that he didn't do the hand in the bag, grab the cookies.
The scoop. Yeah, he didn't scoop it properly. He just scooped it better.
Yeah, but the first day of work totally sucks. You have to watch all these videos. You have to like learn everybody's names. And they're like, this is what I do at the company. And you're like, that means nothing to me right now. I know nothing about
And I won't remember your name because I just met 20 other people.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I gave Greg a 3.
Okay, me too. So for Tom, going to Greg's boss now, Tom got a big promotion that, you know, Shiv and Tom, they're moving to New York. They're going to stick around. They're not going back to D.C. where she's a mover and a shaker in the political scene. He is going to have this this big, important role at the company now, but he doesn't get to do anything, really. It's sort of like a nothing day. And yet he is Grace. He is recognized as Siobhan's fiance at this point in time. So
late for work on the first day, though. He goes to see his father-in-law.
Yeah.
I also have big admiration for Tom, the character, the person, when he walks into the big board meeting and he's like, just here to help out on the Death Star. Like, gotta make you cover up the grates or whatever. And then later he uses it the same joke on Kendall, who was not in the room previously. And I admire someone who like realizes you have a good joke and then you can reutilize it in another opportunity.
Well,
it's a great skill. You know,
we got it in the pilot where Logan's like, did you spend a lot of time on that one?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, like Tom rehearses. Yeah. There is something here that Tom rehearses.
He tried it out. He got a little chuckle. And so he uses it with Kendall. He's like, I'm here to help you out, whatever you need, Vader. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where'd you land with Tom, Jess?
I mean, I like a lot of the stuff he does. I don't really like that he makes Greg smell his breath. That's kind of really gross.
I mean, it's fine. It just smells like breath.
He reads his employees' emails, which is
that's
weird.
That's the scent I got for my new dog bags is breath.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say it was emails. No, it smells like emails.
Smells like breath.
But I, you know what? Okay, I do have to give him some credit. He does have a really cute dog, and
cute
he
dog.
Does do like
Mondale.
And he's like, oh, yes, Mondale. Like he does like a cute voice to the dog. And I really enjoyed that. I'm going to give Tom a 3 because I feel like a pretty successful first day at work, it seems. You know, nothing bad happened. And he got Greg started and got Greg to be able to afford some new shoes after he made fun of him a little bit about them.
I gave Greg a 3.
High quality content. Yeah.
Yeah, I gave Greg a 3. It feels like he does nothing. You know, nothing wrong. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, how about Connor? Connor's here for one quick second, but he's barely in the episode. He doesn't live in town. He, as we've established, he's got 5 farms that are not going to watch over themselves. But he did fly in for the purposes of confronting Marcia. Siobhan needed the backup in the form of these 2 6-foot-tall men, and Connor was there. I think give my very first point ever to Connor for showing up when he was needed and not really doing much of anything else. Useful for one moment. Useful for a single moment in time, Connor was.
All right.
Yeah. Like, I don't even have him in my notes because he's just so barely there.
That's all he does.
Funny thing is when he does show up, he's like, oh, I didn't know this was a confrontation. I don't want to be involved in any of this.
It's so true. Yeah. It's so true. His cowardice shows up immediately.
He's so craven, that Connor. Craven Connor.
He is.
I gave him a 1, too, just because nothing he did felt bad enough to get, like, a 0. But also, he's just barely there, and he's craven when he is. So I gave him a 1.
I feel like if I gave Logan a 0 for opening his eyes, I'm going to give Connor a 0. It's essentially a non-applicable vote, but it's not really because he was there.
Yeah.
So it's just it's so nothing.
Yeah.
So nothing.
Final
you know what represents nothing?
Yeah.
And I've given Connor a 4.
Final character we're tracking here, Jerry. Another powerful episode for Jerry Kelman, I think, even if she's being overlooked by Kendall and Roman in the shirts and jackets off meeting. She's not really being listened to all that much.
Once again, Jerry has to be, she's the victim of like toxic masculinity at work. It's just like watching, you know, it's just like, I don't think we should do the Incredible Hulk thing. And Kendall ignores her. I give her a total 4 for keeping her composure and being smart.
Yeah.
Yep. I also gave her a 4 for basically the exact same reason of Jerry actually has value to add. And yet she is dismissed. Yeah. She's forced to like leave the room when Shiv has personal issues about their father that she needs to talk to the other Roy children about. Like Jerry is constantly being dismissed and she shouldn't be. And you're right. When everyone is taking their shirts off, Jerry's just sitting there. Jerry gets a 4, obviously.
Dude, are you carrying dog shit?
No, it's free, right? Is that cool? I mean, I don't want to be melodramatic, but my body is growing weak due to a lack of sustenance.
But in a dog poop baggie?
Yeah, I have a bunch of them from
Greg,
back home.
That's disgusting.
Not really. It's like, it's not like they pre-poop them or something. Like, it's not like they're just bags, really. It's just a mental barrier.
Let's go to some of the things that we are tracking throughout Succession here on our own. We've got the F-off counter. Logan gets an F-bomb in, but he doesn't say F-off in this episode.
Yeah.
We do get, I think, Kendall drops an F off in this episode again. So once again, like father, yep. like son, the Roys are speaking like the man at the top of the mountain. How many dads did we get on the Ken dad counter this week?
I only counted 5.
I think I had 6. I think I got.
I'm gonna say you're right because I'm so bad at this. I'm trying.
Kendall said the word dad 6 times. He brings him up in the big meeting. He, obviously is like dad in the final scene with Logan. He on one of the business calls. We're talking about my dad. How do you want to know about my dad? 6 dads from Kendall. As far as blanks dead. Do we have anyone who is worth getting fired? I mean, I guess the bank. The bank got
the bank.
Fired.
That guy got fired. That guy got
fired.
That guy got bank. Yeah. Bank's dead.
Bank's dead.
Got it.
Yeah, loan company dead.
A eulogy for the bank. Do we have one?
Oh my God, my brother works at the bank.
Sorry, Grace's brother.
Apologies to Grace's brother. Daddy's favorite this time around.
I mean, it's Shiv, no?
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Yeah, okay, yeah, quickly and then move on. Quickly.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct. That's actually correct. Moving on.
I mean, we should probably be checking Daddy's least favorite would almost be more worth chronicling along the way. That would be Kendall this time around.
Yes. Uh-huh. He's an effing idiot.
Yeah. Tom versus Greg here in episode 3. This is a harder one for me to score. Tom gets the promotion, but Greg gets fancy shoes.
Yeah, because of Greg, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of Tom.
Yeah.
Sorry, because of Tom. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I think Tom?
Tom
has been acknowledged as Siobhan's fiance. That's big. Also, he's closer to the heart of the thing.
Tom got called C-3PO, right? That's what Kendall, which would imply that Greg is, in fact, R2-D2, which seems wrong because of their height difference.
It does. It does.
But I can picture Greg just going like beep boop beep boop beep.
No,
boop.
But in like it's an imperfect analogy, but in the analogy, I do think that Tom is the C-3PO to cousin Greg's R2. The C-3PO's whole thing is like he's the translator, right? Yeah. So like he's sort of like the Roy whisperer to Greg. Yeah. He's teaching him the ropes.
Yeah,
he's but he's like a really malevolent C-3PO for sure.
Uh-huh. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are the things we are tracking as we're going. Let's rate the episode as well. So just to clarify, we were talking about this at the end of the most recent podcast, episode 2. Who is she?
Nice.
We are indeed. We're going to open this up a little bit more. We have added an other category for all of the scoring when you go to postshowrecaps.com/actionstations if you want to get some decimal points involved, because I feel like I do. I don't think the whole numbers are going to work for me. It's either going to be a 3 or a 4 every single time. And I'd like to add a little bit more nuance to that because I do feel like I really love the pilot quite a bit. I'm revising my score to a 3.5 on the pilot. It's not a perfect episode of Succession, but it's a really strong start for me. The second episode of Succession is like a near perfect episode of Succession, but I think Grace, you were the one on episode 2 who mentioned you want there to be a little bit room for this thing to improve. But
yeah, I would have rated it 3.9, and that's what I changed my score to. Like it's a 3.9 rather than a 4, but if you're rounding up, it's 4. So
it's really close. I went with a 3.75 for episode 2. Which takes us to episode 3 here, Lifeboats. I gave it a 3.25, so a little bit on the lower side after these revised scores. I think it's a great episode. I think most episodes of Succession are great. If not, all episodes of Succession are great. But I think that this is one that I probably don't think about a ton. I think that this is one of the more forgettable episodes of Succession, such as a forgettable episode of Succession exists. I don't think that it does the thing that we were talking about on the episode 2 podcast of you're really locked in to a time and place. Like you are in a certain space. This is sort of like the big corporate episode where we're kind of crawling all over Waystar, but it doesn't, you know, feel unique in that same way that a shit show at the Fuck Factory felt. So I think a 3.25 is ultimately where I'm going to land for this one. So Grace, you're going to give a 3.9 to episode 2. What are you giving to the pilot?
Yeah, I'm very close with you. I maybe a smidge lower. And again, I think it just like it's like needs the you know, some refinement in episode 1. So I give it a 3.4, then a 3.9. I think it's almost perfect. I just know it's coming and it's not to that level. This one I gave a 3.2, so I'm just a smidge lower than you by 0.05 of a point. I think, yeah, I think it's like a really good episode for Kendall. I think it gives us a lot of Kendall character advancement. And almost everybody else, it feels like it's like a lesser episode for them. So because of that, I think that like there's a way in which Succession is really singing when like everybody in the show, such an ensemble show. And obviously I think that like Jeremy Strong as Kendall is like really like a breakout performance and he's yep. really integral to the show. But it's when like everybody else is like as intriguing, as engaging as Kendall and Logan, I think that the show really is at its most effective. And this does not feel like that's exactly this.
Yep, I agree. Jess, where did you land with rating this episode of Succession?
Yeah, I landed on a 3.0. So I am, while I am doing decimals, I'm holding myself to just doing like 0.25. I don't want to get super granular and crunchy with it just for my own purposes. So I went back and I edited. I have a 3.5 for the premiere, 3.75 for episode 2, and now a 3.0 for episode 3. I agree with everything you said in terms of this isn't one that sticks out in my memory. And actually, what I do remember about this episode most is the Marsha and Shiv of it all. That is what stands out for me in this episode. Beyond that, it doesn't feel as important of an episode. It just, important things happen. It's just not as like Succession-y, you know, for lack of a better term. So yeah, I ended up.
I don't know that there is one. I think that might be the best term you can get. Yeah. Very Succession-y episodes of Succession. Well, if you all out there want to submit your scores, you could do so by going to postshowrecaps.com/rateroy or postshowrecaps.com/actionstations to score each and every character, to score the episode as well. We've got a couple of other things to get into. Best side character. For me, it was Stewie in this episode. I think that there were a few candidates. Sandy, I think Sandy is a really interesting character. I think it's Larry Pine is the actor who plays him, who I think is who is really good as well.
It's tough to be that threatening while you're being nice.
Yeah. No? Yeah, because there's a world in which he's being threatening, but also a world in which he's being pedantic too. But I feel like it does like fit sort of like very snugly in that center of that diagram. I think that Sandy comes across really compellingly in Same. This episode.
Yeah.
So side I ended characters up going we'd like with to
I am ended up going with Rava for that one. Same. Just because I think I sympathize with her, and I like how she tells Kendall, like, that's it, we're moving on. That was great. Like, we're done. I have a lawyer. We're good.
Just feel bad when he's calling her in the morning. Is like,
yeah. I can't have the whole rabbit. Meeting. Sorry, not all of the rabbit.
Not the whole rabbit.
Yeah. Not the whole rabbit. Can't get the whole thing. We also have the category of what was the worst thing that happened in this episode. Don't think we need to go there. There's a couple of candidates. here. And I did think, am I on the poop deck of a majestic schooner was probably the quote of the episode for me.
Oh, I had a, they're not pre-pooped.
They're not pre-pooped is really good
both
as well.
Both of them are solid options.
Same
honestly.
Scene, so it tells you how funny that scene
is. I also
don't say solid with the pre-pooped bag.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
I also had he tried to put on a sock as one of the options.
He tried to put on a sock.
Tried to put on a sock.
That's what we're doing. We're trying to put on a sock every single day here in the lead up to the final season premiere of Succession on March 26th. The journey continues next with episode 4 on day 4 of the Daily Succession Recap Podcast. Sad Sack Wasp Trap is the name of the next episode of Succession. We will be talking about it tomorrow on the podcast. If you are joining us live as we are recording these, and by live, I mean like on the daily moment, we're recording these in isolation. You can't see us. We're really well hidden, actually. It's pretty impressive. We're just hiding in the depths of Waystar Royco. You can't find us. We're in the basement. I just told them where we are. We're in the basement.
Why would you do that?
I got nervous. I told you everything. I should have gone full Bruce Banner and I went Hulk on it once again. Yeah. Such a mistake. We want to make sure that you are following along all the action when you are subscribed to the Succession podcast feed on Post Show Recaps. PostShowRecaps.com/Succession is the RSS link. If you want to search by URL, you can also just search Post Show Recap Succession wherever you get your podcasts. ratings, reviews, subscriptions. These are super, super helpful for us and greatly appreciated by us if you can take some time to do those things. If you want commercial-free versions of the Succession podcast, you can go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps and become a patron of PSR, support the podcast, make podcasts like these possible, and get some commercial-free podcasts as a result. So that's patreon.com/postshowrecaps. I'm at Round Howard on the internet. Grace, who are you?
I'm on Twitter at Hi from Grace.
Jess, who are you?
I am at the Jess Sterling.
Amazing. All right, we will be back next episode 4, Sad Sack Wasp Trap. Until then, everybody, as Logan Roy might say, F off!
P to the OD. Cast on the Daily about Succession. One episode per day.